How many times have you had a great idea, but you've just sat on it for months or even years? Today, we're going to be talking about why action beats overthinking every single time. Hi, and welcome back to Hair Life with me, Nathan Plumridge, and my amazing co-host, Callie Borge. Morning, Callie. Lovely to see you.
Morning, Nathan.
How are we getting on? All good?
All good, all good. I've been up, I've done my run, I've had my breakfast, I've got my coffee, now ready to go.
If you can see her, ladies and gentlemen, she is actually looking very glamorous this morning, considering she has done everything that she has done and only just got back from recently being in Milan at Milan Fashion Week. I mean, you know, she is definitely living the life. I have been ill, on the other hand, and look like a sack of shit. Just for anybody interested in the show.
But you have got new swanky glasses. So there we go.
But I have got new swanky glasses. I will put them on the video just so we're here, ladies and gentlemen. There we are. I now look like a very old Harry Potter. But anyway, it's all good. Today, maybe the show will be full of magic. Boom, boom. So today's show, if you heard the intro, we are just going to call it like Just Do It. We're not copying Nike. We're just going to be looking and discussing at taking action, because I think there's an element of, certainly over the last like couple of weeks, and you know how the show works. We have conversations in the salon and then we talk about it while we're here. Over the last couple of weeks, I have certainly had a lot of people who have either spoke to me whilst having a haircut about an idea or about something they want to do, but then they've literally, whilst they've been in the chair, poo-pooed that idea straight away instead of taking some sort of action. And it doesn't really matter like what it is. It's just doing it. Do you think this is something that you sort of found?
Yeah, so I could talk about this for hours, but I realise we haven't got hours to talk about it. But as an example, we've just spoken off air, but for the listeners, I'll kind of go back over what I've just said. So I, as Nathan said, have been in Milan for Fashion Week, which was really good fun. It was definitely a jolly as well as working. So there was lots of going out for nice lunches, alcohol, lots of, you know, lots going on. Anyways, I've had a really busy 5 days in Milan. The last day, I only had 3 hours sleep. So I needed to come back from the show and then sleep and then get to the airport. So I came home, but straight back into like normal life. Yesterday we had an avant-garde course at the salon. So I was training all day yesterday and I went to bed last night and I had a run booked in the morning for 6:30 a.m. with the Reigate Lady Joggers. And I've got loads of blisters on my feet because it was hardcore in Milan. I've also got a bit of a bad back and I definitely was not feeling like getting up to go for a run. But I just thought to myself, if I don't do it, that's another week that I've missed because I missed last week from being away and then I'm just not going to get back into it. So I really had to like get myself up and out of bed today. And everything was against me. I got up, it was freezing cold. The car was like needed de-icing. So I ended up running late. By the time I got there, they were already off running up the road and I literally just dumped the car and joined them. And I was so stressed on the way there thinking, oh, why am I putting myself through this? But actually I've done it. And now I'm like, I feel so much better that I've done it. So currently 9:15 in the morning. I've got up, I've done a run, I've come home, got showered, had my breakfast, got sorted, ready for the podcast. And here we are. So I'm glad that I've done it.
I feel like we should have had the Benny Hill music, like while you were doing that. I think that'd have been quite good about how much you can do. So the thing is with it is that, right, so there we go. There's a prime example of some massive action. What I wanted to look at is why people put things off. So for me, one of the ones that I think is really, really evident straight away is like fear of failure or almost like fear of judgment, because sometimes it can be something so simple. So for you, it's the fact that, right, you could have just laid in bed this morning. You could have quite happily sort of lay in bed, but you chose not to. And as a result of it, you now feel much better. Sometimes when people are within their business, it might maybe like a business idea that you've got. I don't know. It could be like trying to sell more retail in your business is a prime example. And what you might do is you might tell a couple of the team, for instance, but actually, you might have gone to a couple of your team members who actually aren't that great at, let's say, retailing. And what they do is they poo-poo your idea straight away. So then that fear or that element of the excitement that you had starting something gets quashed a little bit, you know? And it's really interesting that as certainly as like a salon owner, I think this happens a lot. I think as we share things, and actually sometimes maybe you shouldn't. Like maybe you should just be confident in the decision that you have made and just action it, because it is your business. It's your baby.
You could potentially inspire someone else. If you're actioning it and you're selling those products and you're obviously getting your commission on that, you then could inspire somebody to join you.
Yeah. And maybe there's an element of that. I'm sorry to interrupt you there. But I wondered, maybe if you actioned it yourself and suddenly your retail sales started to increase dramatically over like a month, you would then be able to see your team members witness what you've actually done. And then you could go, right, I've now done it and I've proven that it works. So now we're going to do it. So maybe that's a way of overcoming that fear. Maybe you don't always need to share what it is or share the idea. Maybe you just need to take a step back and actually believe in what it is you're going to deliver and get on with it instead of actually, you know, worrying about other people. Because I think that's something that happens more than ever now, as we live in the world of judgment, maybe. And we're also afraid of being judged, which, again, I don't really understand, because actually I think sometimes, you know, it's actually quite good to be told. Like, this is something, I don't know if I mentioned this last week. So we, over the last couple of weeks, we've been doing a load of webinars in America, looking at selling, looking at how we can grow our businesses, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things that we were sort of looking at is where you are or who you potentially are, but actually potentially where you think you are. And my wife said this statement, which really hurt me. She went, do you know what? You're in a 10. She was like, Nathan, you're a 10. She said, but you're playing at a 3. And I literally went, oh. And it was a really weird comment, but it was one of those that really made me think, maybe I am. Maybe I am actually dabbling, and maybe I'm not being the 10 that I should be. And actually, I think that's what it is. I think there's elements sometimes where each and every one of us has something great inside us, like, you know, and you need to believe that. And maybe sometimes we're concerned about what that impact's going to look like, who's going to judge you, who's going to, you know, are you going to fail? But actually, we also sometimes play quite safe. Like, we just play safe, which is why then taking action and doing it is just way better. Because already in the last 10 days, like, if you could see like my whiteboard in my office, and you could see the stuff we've already started to put together since being told that by my lovely wife, thank you, Helen, it's given me like a real kick up the ass. And don't be afraid of failure, judgment. Don't be afraid of being criticized or told.
A couple of things that I'd say to that is, like, a lot of, like, you and I have spoken about this before, like, we have lots of conversations with people and even conversations with myself. But sometimes I think when someone wants to do something, they just basically can't be asked. Like, their brain's saying, oh, I'd like to do that, but they can't be asked. And that comes down to a lack of self-motivation. But then not having that self-motivation is a knock-on effect for the self-belief, because your actions are telling you, you can't be asked to do it, you're not doing it. So then you don't believe you can do it. And then it just becomes like a bit of a kind of on a bit of a hamster wheel. So yeah, I think baby steps are always progression. So for instance, I used to get really bad slip discs in my back, and I dabbled with exercise on and off for years and really struggled with it. And last year, I just made a decision in January that I'm going to get strong enough to be able to exercise again. And it literally started of like 5 minutes a day stretching. Then it went to like 10 minutes a day, like stretching a bit of strength. And I just built it up and built it up. And now I really crave doing that exercise and making sure that I'm looking after myself. And because of that, it's then gone on to having magnesium in the evening, always taking supplements, like making sure I'm having enough protein. But that didn't all happen overnight. I didn't just wake up one day and go, right, okay, I'm going to get my health on track and I'm going to do everything now. Like, that took like a little bit each day until I got to the point where it now becomes natural. So like, I've got my collagen in my coffee. I always have my coffee and my collagen in the morning. So it became a natural process because I just made a commitment to it and just kept going. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm on the way, you know?
Yeah, but the thing is, realistically, you're doing it. And I think this is probably the other element alongside this is starting it.
Here's the worst bit.
Yeah, it's always the hardest bit. But actually, once you start it, slowly but surely, it becomes a habit. And then that habit will generally become a really positive habit. And it will move on to great things. And also, I think impatience. Like, don't be impatient. You know, it's like whenever you sort of see what that final goal is.
Yeah, focus on like the end result, because you're never going to get up and go, oh, I really, like, I'm not going to say, like, I was knackered this morning, I could have done without that run. But I'm so glad that I got up and done it. I'm never going to go, I really regret going for a run and having a nice healthy breakfast this morning. But you are going to regret going, oh, I could be able to get out of bed.
100%. So this is where the other bit is, like, kind of moving on from here. So we've also looked at waiting for the perfect time, right? So this could be something really simple. Imagine like you're with your partner and this is your girlfriend and you're thinking about, you want to get engaged, right? And you keep waiting for the right moment. You keep waiting.
I've been waiting 9 years.
Yeah, you keep waiting. And then imagine she says no. Imagine you've missed the opportunity, a moment. Like, imagine you missed that.
Well, imagine she gets fed up of waiting and thinks, fuck this, I'm moving on.
Yeah. And I think like, you know, that's another excuse, or that there's a reason why people, you know, don't make things happen, because they keep waiting for the perfect time. There is no such thing as the perfect time. And I just wanted to, I've got a couple of like business ones here, which will kind of work alongside it. So there's one of my favorites here is actually to do with Blockbuster. Do you remember Blockbuster?
Anybody
listening, you used to go and get your videos and your DVDs and everything else. Obviously, it was one of the giants of the video rental industry. So Blockbuster had the chance to buy Netflix in its early days, right? But it completely dismissed the opportunity. Their reluctance to adapt to the digital streaming revolution led to their downfall, whilst Netflix soared, and ultimately it went bust. And that was it. And I didn't realize that until we started to research it. And so you imagine, you had the opportunity to buy one of the biggest now companies in the world, and you turned it down because you didn't believe it. And there's another one. We've got a couple here, which I'll just read out while we're at it. This is alongside Kodak as well. And obviously, if you remember Kodak, cameras, yeah, films, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously,
they were
the leader in photography. They invented like the first digital camera, but feared it would cannibalize the film business. This hesitation allowed to competitors to innovate, leading to Kodak's bankruptcy in 2012. So they just didn't believe that cameras were going to change that much.
Yeah, and 2012, like, they'd already changed quite a lot by then. Like, you would have thought they'd have jumped on it at least a couple of years before that, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. It's incredible, isn't it? And then there was, like, Nokia. So again, Nokia dominated the mobile phone market for years. Do you remember?
Snake.
I mean, God.
Playing Snake on a Nokia. Oh. That was banging.
And it's really interesting, because imagine how much easier life would be now without smartphones. Oh my God. If you just had normal Nokia phones now, people would be happier, I reckon. I reckon it'd be a completely different world.
Oh, I don't know. I struggled to get around without the sat nav on my phone.
No, I know. But what do you think about like the amount of shit that we have on our phones now? We're just having Snake, text, phone. But they basically completely underestimated the shift in smartphone technology. And their late response was their significant loss of their market share. And that was it. Same thing. Completely pretty much disappeared.
Although they will be remembered for the change in faces. Do you remember you changed the face on the phone?
Yeah. Do you remember the Matrix smartphone, the little click phone?
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites. So that's the thing. Always think there is no such thing as the perfect time to take some massive action.
And if you don't take that action, somebody else is going to, hence, you know, why these massive companies go under.
Yep, prime example. And that is why I am not going to go under, because I'm going to take some massive action, which is very exciting. And also, overcomplicating the process. Like, How many, right, is, I don't know, is this an age thing? Because one of the things that I witness every single day in the salon is just even with my beautiful team, God bless, I love each and every one of them, but they will turn the tiniest thing into the biggest snowball ever. And when you really look at it, it really isn't. There isn't, it is tiny, 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 but in their eyes, it's huge. And it's not until you get them to kind of break it down, they suddenly go, yeah, you're right. I'm probably overreacting a little bit, aren't I? You know?
There might be a bit of hormones going on there, Nathan, I have to say. There's certain times of the month that I massively overreact as well.
I've got International Women's Week this week. I've got a massive webinar. So I'm all over. Peace out, women. We need more women, you know, more women in power. So I'm all right with that. I just think it's that. Keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate the processes. Don't make things more difficult than they need to be. And again, the other bit as well, and this is interesting because you were just saying about education. And obviously, I know it's like a massive thing that you do, and it's something that we do a lot of as well, is a lack of confidence or the knowledge in what it is that you're actually doing. And I was listening to an interesting little quote again yesterday, and it was about, it's always Simon Sinek. Anybody listening? Simon Sinek, amazing. Simon's incredible.
Oh, I love Simon Sinek. Yeah, he did the power and no, he did
Power and Why.
Is it the Why?
And yeah. He it was just a really simple quote that I just heard him repeating again the other day. And it was about two wood choppers, and there they were chopping wood, et cetera, et cetera. And every day, one of them would disappear for an hour. But at the end of the day, he'd end up having more wood. And after a couple of weeks, the other wood chopper went up to him and said, like, how do you have a break every day? And then how do you still chop more wood? And he said, in that hour, I go and sharpen my axe. And that's the point. It's like you as a person, take time out to, you know, if you want to do something, go and research it, go and read about it, go and get the knowledge that you require to make sure that you can actually achieve what it is you want to do. You know, don't do anything half-assed, because I think that's, I don't know. I know I'll put my hand up with that. Like, there's plenty of times where I've gone after something and I've just dabbled at it, and you are set up for failure, like 100%. So actually do it, but research it and actually spend a bit of time getting some knowledge in there, you know?
Yeah, I see education for us, like we're big on education. We're always doing something. But I see education as motivation and growth. And I think if you can get through each year and you've learned something new, whether you specialise in that or not, doesn't really matter. But if you've learned something new and you've pushed yourself and you've stepped out of your comfort zone, you've given yourself some growth. And that then in turn has a bit of a compound effect. So when I look at stuff that I've done over the years, like things will come back to me as something that I might have learned 5 years ago. Like, you know, like if I'm doing a shoot or something, and I think, oh, I learned this like then. Like yesterday, we did this avant-garde course, and I'm not into avant-garde. Like, I wanted to do it just basically for the interest. So, and also for the girls, my girls that work with me haven't done a lot of photo shoots and stuff, but I want to start pushing them forward with that. So I thought if I showed them all different things, it will help when we go to push forward the collections and stuff. So we did this avant-garde course, and it was amazing how simple these crazy things are to do. Like, when we was learning them yesterday, I was like, oh, is that it? Like, oh, that's how you make a hair sheet. That's how you do this. You know, the only thing that wasn't simple was a bloody braid that really pissed me off. I was like, you know, you're desperately trying to get it. I will get it. But yeah, it's going to take me a lot of practice. But some of the stuff that you see that's really creative, like these hair sheets that are basically made out of tiny little bits of hair that you cut all the hair, and then you're basically spraying it with hairspray, and then you make like this mold that you can, you know, you can place over the head. And it was pretty amazing, really. So as I say, I've never really been interested in avant-garde, but what I learned yesterday I was really interested in, and probably will use something like that going forward.
I think the whole avant-garde thing is because there's so many things that you add, you're using so many tools. It's actually it's almost like not like hairdressing. It's like architecture.
No, it's not like hairdressing. I'm more of a commercial hairdresser, I would say. I'm not an avant-garde hairdresser, but I did really enjoy it. And I think, you know, depending on what the girls want to do going forward, we've now got that kind of under our belt that we can go, okay, do we want to add something like this in or not? Because if I hadn't gone on that course, I wouldn't have the opportunity to add that in if I wanted to.
Yeah, 100%. And that's that thing, isn't it? Well, I suppose it's almost like the kind of imperfect action leads to progress, because actually you went on the course, you know, you've taken some things away, which now mean that you can now start putting that into progress within the salon. Or if you did your own shoot, you would take those ideas away. And I think that's what's really important within our industry massively, is don't get stuck in that little rut as well. You know that you can always be a little bit better than what you are. And I think particularly in the minute with, there's so much education available as well.
There's so much education and so much free education as well. Like, you don't even need to, I mean, I invest in education because that's what I've chosen to do, but there's loads and loads of free education. It's incredible how much there is. Like, if you're struggling to invest in it, you could learn so much just on YouTube.
Yeah. 100%. And that's where, again, the sort of snowball effect of taking like a little bit and let it roll, let's go again. And maybe even if you just grab like one team member once a week for like an hour, imagine if you did like 6 weeks of that, how much better that would be. Even if you just got them to do the same haircut six times over 6 weeks, you know, they're only going to get better. You know, we all know that. So repetition is the key to everything.
Yeah, and also learning by mistakes. Like, you don't become really successful and be really good at what you do without mistakes, because mistakes are actually really powerful. Like, I always say to the girls, like, if anything ever happens in the salon, if someone's not 100% happy, don't see it as a negative, see it as in an opportunity to grow. So if someone says, oh, you know, I think my toner's a bit bright or a bit dark or whatever, then you can look at that and think, do you know what, going forward, I need to be a bit more specific with do I need to get some pictures out? You know, whatever it is, you know, I'm just using it as an example. Like, it's, yeah, any issues are always an opportunity to grow.
But failure is growth.
Yeah, it is growth, yeah. And it's not a bad thing, yeah. It's not the failure, it's how you deal with it. So if you can deal with it professionally and you can learn from that, then you're fine.
Every corporation is failing. Every major successful corporation fails. They fail regularly because that's how they grow as companies, you know? And you mustn't do that, which is why...
Bottom Blockbuster.
Yeah, well, maybe not Blockbuster, but, you know, but your biggest wins will be the ones that you've tried at loads and loads of times, and then you finally get there. And that's why it really is. Snowball effect, take it, go for it, and keep kind of pushing. So, it's interesting as well. So I always think there's ways that you can, I suppose, stop the overthinking element and actually start taking the action. So there's a bit for me, which is, and again, I think we sort of spoke about this earlier. Think about it in a 24-hour rule, right? So if you've got something you really want to do, do it in 24 hours straight away. Just start, even if it's in your head. Go and write it down on a piece of paper or in your pad or in your journal or on your whiteboard. It doesn't matter what it is, but get it out of your head within 24 hours straight away. Because the thing is with it is that even when you speak about it or you write it down, what you do is you bring that to life. Whatever that is has suddenly become alive. When it's in your brain, it's nothing. It's dead. The moment you get it out onto a piece of paper and you do a drawing or whatever, suddenly it has a purpose. It has something that can actually happen. So like the 24-hour rule, do not let it get any longer than that, because as soon as you get longer than that, it will start to wane and it will start to disappear and then life shit will take over and you will probably forget about it. All right. So think about it in that way, because I also think there's a bit of a 5-second rule as well, which is where, think about the 5 seconds, slowly kind of count them down. And then even if you write on your notes, on your phone, what it is, like, what is the action you want to take today? It could just be the strap line. I'm going to walk a kilometer today. I'm going to, you know, take my mum out every Friday, whatever. It doesn't matter. Do it really quick. And then suddenly realize
you've held yourself accountable.
Yeah.
Like you could write it down and then just completely ignore it. But by doing it, you have kind of subconsciously made yourself accountable. That's what I think you're saying. Yeah.
And I think that's what it is, you know, and I think there's kind of an element of when you free stuff up, everything becomes like a bit better. Like you've got room, like you've got to clear shit out in order to get other shit in. And I think that's why it's also like focus on like the really, really good shit that you're already doing as well. Because then the sort of perfection is never going to happen because it's like it's completely unachievable. But you didn't think you'd start running like once a week every day. You didn't think you'd start doing, you know, taking, you know, the healthy kind of route that you have. You didn't think you'd start feeling so much better, but you have.
And prioritizing sleep as well. Like I've always really struggled with sleep. And it's something that I realize if I want to do running and exercising, you know, everything that you read up about, it all says about how important sleep is. So I've really started to focus on that. So I've been having magnesium every night and trying to make sure that I'm going to bed earlier because it takes me ages to switch off. I've also dabbled in a bit of melatonin lately and it's been great. So yeah. Well, they say anyone that's neurodiverse, you don't produce melatonin naturally. So I noticed when we went to New York, my sister-in-law Katie gave me some melatonin because of the the time difference. And it was brilliant. I mean, I still woke up at like 1 a.m, but I fell asleep really quickly. So, yeah.
There you go. That's a melatonin life, ladies and gentlemen. Also, kind of accountability and deadlines. So I think there's a bit of it as well. If you just want to do something, right, tell your best mate, tell your partner, tell your fitness coach, whatever. Sometimes share that with them. And then let them help you keep you accountable. Because I think that's probably one of the biggest things, and hopefully you'll agree with me, is the reason why like a lot of people want coaches for everything now is for that simple reason.
For accountability. Yeah.
Right? Because you know, if you need to go and exercise and somebody's showing you what to do and telling you how to do it and pushing you to do it, you will lift one more rep. You will lift way more weight and you will turn up because you won't want to let them down. When it's just you and you're in that room and it's only you that's keeping you accountable, it's very easy to go, nah, can't be bothered with that. So accountability, that's why accountability coaching, isn't that right? That's what we are all about, ladies and gentlemen. And deadlines, give yourself a deadline. Right, just give yourself a really simple deadline. It could be a week, could be 2 weeks, could be a month, could be a year, could be anything. But have it. Give yourself the opportunity to actually have a clear deadline to make sure that you're able to take some good action. Because like, do not think this is the year. I feel like for the last couple of months, all we're seeing is just really horrible shit. It's really negative. Everything, everywhere you look, the economy, the government, you know, wars, God knows what else. I'm just done. Like, I'm so done with that bit. I just want to be upbeat, friendly, active. I want to, you know, smile at my fellow man and woman. And I just want to enjoy my children and the beautiful world in which we live in. Because actually, I think we can probably all achieve amazing things. But we've got to not get caught up in all the horrible, annoying shit that goes on. So, but give yourself the deadline, you know, and put yourself there with that. And then visualize the cost of inaction. Because that's, I think that's one of the biggest things. If you run your business and slowly, if you're not changing anything, right, at all, you're going to start watching your monthly account dwindle rapidly. And particularly from now on, like for any salon owners that are out there, if you have not changed your pricing structure and you have not let your clients know what is going on and you've not done it now, I'm worried for you, right? So go and take some action and get on with it today, like right now, because in a few weeks' time.
Stop listening to podcasts and go and take some action.
Yeah, exactly. Listen to the podcast, give us a massive thumbs up, and then go and take some massive action. All right? Because I think that's something you've got to be doing. Okay? So again, if we were going to like finish this show and we were going to do anything, we'd be like, look, what's one thing that you've been putting off? Okay. What is one thing, listener, that you've been putting off for ages? Go and take some action and go and do it. All right. Do you know one thing that's been crazy in my cell? I don't know what it is about this year, is relationships. All right. I've got so many. It's really bizarre. A bunch of my team who have been ultimately probably a little bit unhappy for quite some time. And they've finally got to this year and they've gone, I'm done. That's it. And they've taken massive action.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of that lately. It's sad, yeah.
Yeah, and it is really sad. But actually, they are getting on with it and they're moving in the right direction. So one thing, get on with it and do it.
Get on with it. Dump your partner. Move on.
Hey, get a new life. Is that, I mean, it's always one of those things. I always think, I remember when I did it, I always thought there was the fear. It was going to be like a lot worse. But actually, once you've kind of said it and you've done it, I just remember like walking out and going, oh, I feel much better.
If you know it's the right decision, it's a release once it's done. Yeah.
So remember, the only way to make things happen is to start. So whatever it is, just do it. There we go. Thank you for this week, Callie. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Short, sharp, straight to the point. No mucking around. Take action. Crack on and your life will be even better than what it already is. Callie, where can they find you?
I'm at The Lifestyle Hairstylist on Instagram or callieborg.com.
Fantastic. You can find me at nathan.hairlife on Instagram. You can find me at nathan.hairlife or www.nathan.hairlife. I always get this bit wrong, which is why maybe I should be reading it more instead of coming off the top of my head. And you can obviously find us on iTunes, Audible, Spotify, or any other of the amazing podcast channels available. We always love a thumbs up. We always love a five-star review. Plus, if you've got any comments or any tips and thoughts you want us to talk about on the show, please message us. We'll catch up with you soon. See you next time on Hair Life.